Good evening and welcome to Big Talk. This is WMPG's weekly conversation show. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Murphy, and I'm here with my good buddy,
Al Brewer. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm great. How are you tonight, Al?
Not bad. Can't wait for the hurricane.
Oh, geez, Well, tonight, we are putting it to you, listener. We have a question for you. What do all of these people have in common? Are you ready? Michael Brennan, Ralph Carmona, Jody Lapchick, Jill Dusen, John Eder, Hamza Hado, David Marshall, Nick Mavadonis, Marcos Miller, Jed Rathband, Charles Bragdon, and Ethan Strimling. What do you think those people all have in common? Oh, Al. Al's got his hand up.
If you know, call us at 780-4909, but I'm going to take a wild guess. They all want to be in the eye of the political hurricane called the elected mayor of Portland.
Yeah, so I should have brought my bell from Watch Your Language. Ding, ding, ding. That's correct. All 12 of those people are going to be on the ballot.
Are you sure we named everyone, Suzanne?
No, because there are some. The deadline, I believe, is Monday, the 29th, for getting your 300 signatures verified by the city clerk's office. I downloaded this just yesterday, which it's very difficult to find totally updated information on. There's so many people. And of the 12 people I just read, the first 10 are all set. They're definitely on the ballot. Charles Bragdon and Ethan Strimling have handed in their signatures, but they haven't been verified yet. Peter Bryant has handed in signatures, but not yet enough to qualify. And Jay York and Zuhair Buzara have officially dropped out of the race. There are still other candidates, however, that from a list that I downloaded a while back. And,
there could well be mystery candidates.
There could be.
Gathering 300 signatures in secret.
So we're going to talk about the mayoral race tonight. For you non-Portland voters, please bear with us. This is just so historic, really, what's happening. And it's politically fascinating.
What, 88 years, I think I read?
Something. I thought it was more than that. But we haven't had an elected mayor, if you didn't know that. Here, I am a Portland resident. Al actually is not.
Not any longer. I used to be. Mm-hmm. But I have moved to the wonderful suburb across the bridge called South Portland.
Which you have to explain to people from away is actually a separate town.
Right.
Right.
And you can get there by driving west.
Or east.
You know, you're right.
So if you have any comments on the Portland mayoral race, you can call us, 780-4909. We're going to talk a little bit about the most interesting part of it at some point in the next half hour, which is how the voting is going to be taking place. But first, let's go back to the history. My understanding is that back in the day, there used to be elected mayors in Portland, but since 1923, the city council has picked a mayor from its own ranks, whose role is mostly ceremonial and only lasts for 1 year. But a charter commission was put together, and Portland voters agreed to look at this, and now that has changed, and we have agreed to go ahead and have a $66,000 a year job full-time.
Plus four benefits.
Yep, four-year term, and the mayor will receive the power to veto the city's annual budget, but that action can be overridden by a vote of six councilors. So this position, in my opinion, will have some power. There are people who ran specifically because they felt that it was a toothless position. I believe Jay York he was trying to run initially because he just thought the whole thing was foolish.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Al? Do you think that the way that the Charter Commission came up with the position does give it any meaning?
Well, I think actually it will depend in part on who becomes the mayor. I think a strong personality, and there are a lot of strong personalities in the race, will make the position that much more powerful. In other words, it will reflect the personality of the person who wins.
Yeah, but there's always been a bully pulpit aspect to even the ceremonial one-year term. But because this is 4 years and has the weight of the mandate of the election, you think it carries a lot more power?
I think it does carry. Yeah. It certainly carries more power than that ceremonial position.
Well, that's
essentially
obvious.
Rotated around so-called deserving council members. All you have to do is get reelected and wait your turn, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a step away from that. I think it's fraught with many questions and uncertainties, and I really do think it depends on who wins this race. I mean, I have seen the opinion that just conceptually that the elected mayor of Portland would be the fifth most powerful and desirable political office in the state, and that would come after governor, two U.S. senators, two U.S. representatives. And I don't think I agree with that. I don't think that the elected mayor of Portland would.
Why?
Well, for one thing, Portland's problems as Maine's urban center stand somewhat apart from, if not in opposition, to many, many other places in Maine, especially small towns in northern Maine. So that's a strike against you if you're seeking higher statewide office, certainly, if you're the mayor of Portland.
But is it foolish to make a comparison to the mayor of New York? Yes. New York City, the same problem. The rest of the state pretty much hates New York City,
yeah.
I think.
If you're from Utica, who do you really care about Bloomberg? And we have a caller on the line. Dave Marshall is calling in. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So
just heard you guys talking about the elected mayor stuff, and
we're dipping our toe into that issue, Dave. There are 10 candidates, and we can't say that we know much of anything about all of them or any of them.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm one of the candidates. I'm a member of the city council, and I've been on the city council for the last 5 years, and I initiated the effort to have an elected mayor in March of 2007. And, you know, it's been a long road since then in order to get to this point of getting it passing, but, you know, I worked it, you know, the whole way through and really felt as though the people of Portland really needed to have a witness in City Hall on a day-to-day basis, and we needed to have a mayor that would be, you know, elected with the full support of the majority of the voters in order to be able to hold political clout that we need in Augusta to make sure that, you know, Portland is well spoken for.
Dave, can I break in for just one moment and ask you, do you think that the position of mayor is powerful enough as designed by the city charter, or should it be more powerful or less powerful?
Well, I was originally advocating for a stronger position, but I think the Charter Commission made it as strong as they felt as that the voters would support. And overall, I think it's a you know, good step in the right direction. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, a big difference in this position versus, you know, what we had before on the council. You know, being able to carry the popular support of the majority of voters is going to bring a lot more power to the position, along with the veto power over the budget. And, you know, but, you know, the real key is that, you know, I mean, city councilors just make, you know, $5,000 a year and as a stipend for the position. And, you know, so everybody has to work other jobs. And, you know, but this is, you know, the salary and the full-time position will allow the mayor to you know, really work on policy as a full-time, you know, to, you know,
And
having a four-year mandate,
Dave,
will help out a lot.
Just to break in one more time, as long as we have you on the line, what is your top policy issue? You are a candidate. What's the number one issue that you're running on?
It's really, really coming down to our economy, and you know, my platform includes you know, creating green jobs through energy investments. Growing our creative economy and moving us towards sustainable development.
And my the race is nonpartisan is another thing people should understand. People you know, certainly may declare, you know, what party they may or may not be affiliated with, but that's not how it's really run, like everything, like most other elections in the state. Is that right, David?
Exactly. And, you know, when it's a nonpartisan election, it just means that there's no primaries, there's
right.
No letter next to people's names mm-hmm. when they go to when they go and look at the ballot. And, you know, but we're using ranked choice voting this year for this position in order to ensure that the person who wins has majority support.
Well, we are going to explain that voting procedure just a little bit later in the program. But we thank you very much for calling in. And if there's any other candidates listening in, we want to give you some time to give us a call. Thank you very much, David.
All right. Thank you.
And candidates or voters or listeners, dial in at 780-4909 and join this week's conversation on Big Talk with Suzanne Murphy and me, Al Brewer. And that election, by the way, is November 8th, I believe.
Oh, that's good to note, yes.
We should get that calendar out and check it. It should be a Tuesday.
I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's right, but we'll double check that. Let's talk about the ranked voting that David Marshall was just talking about and that we've made reference to. Usually when, you go to the ballot box, you vote, and whoever gets the most votes win. But this is a little different. What will happen in this election is that you will choose your first choice, your second choice, and do you know how much farther down people can go with that?
I believe you select your top three. Choices, and that's it. And again, if there's an expert out there listening, and we know who you are, give us a call at 780-4909, but I believe you do select your top three choices.
And if after the first round of voting, one person does not emerge with more than 50% of the vote, then the starting from the bottom vote getters, they knock that person off and put their second choice, whoever those people who voted for the person who came in last, their second choice votes then get added to the person. And so eventually they do that until somebody reaches more than 50%, which I think is fascinating and a really interesting way to get somebody who really does have the support of the majority of the people.
Or a slice of everyone's support.
Yes.
It works yes. well in European countries, but they have a longer political history than we do.
Well, this is an interesting experiment.
Well, it is an interesting experiment. And I wonder, is there a hurdle? I mean, if the last place candidate had one vote, you're saying that that number 10 candidate gets knocked out and all the other the second choices of the top nine are then divided up?
No. I'm just reading this off of a Portland Press Herald thing. Hold on. If after the first round of vote counting, the leading vote getter doesn't have a majority, the candidate with the fewest votes is dropped, and his or her supporters' second-choice votes are allocated to the candidate.
So just from that last-place candidate alone?
Yes.
Interesting.
Then the process continues. If that doesn't result in 50.1% or whatever. Process continues with candidates dropped and voters' lower-ranked choices allocated to other candidates until one receives a majority. The aim is to produce an instant runoff winner who can claim a mandate. But it also does, as this article in Portland Press Herald pointed out, it produces some interesting politicking with candidates vying to be your second or third choice. So people can actually, and I've had Jed Rathbun came to our door, and he said, I'd be happy to be your second choice.
Right, Rathband.
Rathband, sorry. Yeah. Rathband.
Yeah.
That, in all honesty, he meant that because that is a way for somebody to actually win. It's sort of like the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. You know, they have like first, second.
Yes, they do.
They rank.
Yep.
And you have a certain number of points per ranking. Mm-hmm. That's a little different.
It's a little different.
But the idea of choosing.
Yeah. And I actually,
you don't just vote for one person. You vote for three people
right.
in the order of your preference.
Yeah. And I think I'd rather be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, actually.
Than be mayor of Portland. Yeah.
But that's just me. Give us, if you have a different opinion, if you would rather be mayor of Portland and you're running for the office, as indeed 10 people are, which could be the highest
well,
per
probably
capita.
12.
12.
I'm going to say 10 have already had their signatures verified, but it sounds like Bragdon and Strimling are definitely, their signatures are going to be fine. So that'll be 12. But the deadline's not till Monday, so
that's a candidate for every 5,000 Portland residents?
It's pretty interesting.
I mean, that's a very high per capita rate of candidates. I'd say higher even than our per capita rate of restaurants.
Which is saying something.
Yeah. So give us a call, 780-4909, to talk about the mayoral election, the first in 88 years in Portland, and as a voter, perhaps, what you think of this ranked voting process. So you'll be faced with a ballot that's quite different than any you have seen when you walk into the voting booth.
Yes, on November 8th. Please mark that down, because voting is important.
Yes, it is. And that I wonder if it poses any procedural problems for the city clerks who will be counting the ballots.
I'm going to guess that, I'm going to hope that there's some mechanism in there for assistance or oversight of that, dropping people off and moving people up.
Wow.
It involves high math, higher math.
12 candidates and just a few hours, really, to come up with the winner. I happen to think it's going to be a long night.
Yeah, because it's going to spread out amongst all these people. Nobody's going to get 50%, I don't think, off the bat.
You never know.
You never know, but I mean, seriously, some of the people who are running are well-known political figures and have a lot of visibility, but there's quite a few of them, so they're going to split the vote amongst... I haven't seen some of these names ever before.
Nor have I. But I've seen some of them.
Well, some of them, for sure. But there's a businesswoman running that I never heard of before. That's, what is her name? Jody. Jody Lapchick.
Jody Lapchick.
She is
in advertising.
Yeah, she's. And she's running. And Hamza Hadal is a Somali immigrant who is running. And he's a businessman, I believe. So we have people from business and from the political realm running for the mayor of Portland, and it's fascinating.
Who do you think the three best-known candidates out of these 10 or 12 are, in your mind, Suzanne?
Well, the best-known would have to be Mike Brennan, Ethan Strimling, and maybe Jill Dusen.
And what about Nick Mavadonis?
And, well, there's a lot. Nick Mavadonis and David Marshall, who just called in. Yep. They've all been are on the city council. John Eder, Green Party, used to be in the legislature from the West End. So, as I said, there's a lot of names like that. And then there are people like Marcos Miller, who's a Spanish teacher and a neighborhood activist. So there's a lot going on out there. And 2 weeks... Oh, okay. We'll take a call, and then I'll tell you what's going to happen 2 weeks from tonight. Dan from Portland. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Hi, Suzanne. You know, obviously, we don't know. It's hard. I'm very excited about the instant runoff voting. I think it's a really cool process, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it shakes out. I don't know if the first time out will give us much of a sense of what it means in terms of politicking. But to me, obviously, the real interesting thing is to daydream about is what would have happened in just about any gubernatorial election in the last 20 years if we'd had it.
Really?
You know, I can't remember the last time a governor won 50% of the vote.
Well, apparently Angus King's second time around.
Right. Okay. But it's certainly not very often, right? If you think about
When people are running, when it's an open seat,
with three or four candidates and all these things. And, you know, anyway, and I don't know what it would have meant politically. Like, obviously, LePage wouldn't have won the election, but what would that have meant if that had happened? Anyway, I think it's a fascinating process, and it's going to take a long time to figure out what it means.
And so, Dan,
I'm looking forward to watching it.
Do you think that the experience in Portland with ranked voting will help promote it throughout the state and possibly be used in a statewide election someday?
Who knows? I mean, as you guys said, nobody in the rest of the state likes Portland anyway, so.
It's a good point.
Yeah, they're doing all those fancy European things down there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Well, how can you find out about all these candidates? You can friend them all on Facebook. I think it's fascinating to watch the race emerge on Facebook as Mike Brennan and Nick Mavadonis and Ethan Strimling and Jed Rathband and all these other people are, you know, friending wildly.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one place where you can watch the race. But is there any other place?
Well, in fact, I'm sure there'll be more than this, too, but a very exciting. 2 weeks from tonight, the League of Young Voters is sponsoring a mayoral forum unlike any other that you've seen before. It will be at 7 p.m. at Lucid Stage, which is, I don't have the exact address, but it's right on...
It's right opposite the Little League field.
Field on, is that Preble? No, that's yeah, I think that's called Preble at that point, or no?
I don't think
it's right near
Preble.
The Forest Avenue, Hannaford, there in that little stretch between Baxter Boulevard.
Right.
Lucid Stage, if you haven't been there for a theatrical production, this might be a good chance to check it out.
This is political theater.
This is political theater. They're calling it So You Think You Can Mayor. And the idea is to get a sense of the mayoral candidates by not using a traditional debate or statement type thing. They're going to have a roulette wheel with questions with topics on it, and then questions will be asked individually. There won't be any big statements made. The idea is to get a feel for who these people are. Initially, all they're going to be able to say is their name, their neighborhood, and how they're going to create jobs for youth in Portland. So,
is sponsored, in fact, by the Young Voters, the main League of Young
Voters.
Yeah,
the League of Young Voters.
Yeah.
And it's a really original concept here. I think it's going to be really a great event. And we do encourage you to attend so that you can check out some of these candidates. I don't know if all of them will attend.
But there will certainly be Big Talk reporters there.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that. Some of us have already signed up to go.
And I believe that MPG is recording it for future use.
Good.
I think. So we're pretty excited about that. I think that's going to be quite a Portland event. Be there or be square.
September 8th, 7 p.m., the Main League of Young Voters sponsoring So You Think You Can Mayor, with all the candidates fit to be there.
Well, the ones that are willing to participate in this, which I think will be a really excellent event for people to get a sense of who's running and what they're all about.
You know, I'd be very surprised if any candidate, any serious candidate, ducked this event. It would be a bad decision not to be there.
Oh, I would have to agree.
The League of Young Voters, I think, was part of the original coalition that pushed for elected mayor.
Yes, they did.
And they are a power in the city of Portland.
They print 10,000 voter guides for every time there's an election. I mean, they're an established political force,
yeah.
Not just in the city. It's the Main League of Young Voters. And they have members, and they have a process that they come to who they endorse or recommend. And it's every year they do 10,000 copies.
That's going to be one thick guide this year for 10 or a dozen candidates for mayor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're listening, we have about 5 minutes left here in Big Talk. Al Brewer and myself, Suzanne Murphy, we're just talking tonight with you, our listeners, about the race for mayor in Portland, which is nonpartisan, which means that there's no primaries, which means anybody and everybody who wants to run just can declare, as long as they can get 300 signatures, they're on the ballot.
But don't you think there's partisanship just beneath the surface, Suzanne? I mean, for example, you have on the ballot Mike Brennan and Ethan Strimling. They were opponents in the Democratic primary a few years ago that was won by Shelley Pingree for the first congressional mm-hmm. district as a Democrat. Don't you think that there's some partisanship just below the surface?
Well, of course, but all I'm saying is that I'm using the word nonpartisan as a just strictly descriptive, as David Marshall, who called in. You won't know unless you do your homework when you go in there. It's not going to have little parentheses that say D for Democrat or R for Republican or G for Green or I for Independent. You know, that's not going to be on the ballot. That's all I mean by that. But
okay.
Because clearly we've got a lot of Democrats here. We've got a couple of Greens, Eder and Marshall, right, or Greens.
I believe they are.
And I don't know if there are any Republicans running, because I don't know who some of these people are, to be quite honest.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
And that's why September 8th is going to be so interesting.
Yes.
Just to get back to that question to you, Suzanne, where do you think this office will rank in terms of the power pyramid of political positions in the state?
Well, I don't dismiss it quite as easily as you do. I think that because Portland is the largest city in all of Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, I mean, this is pretty much it, north of Massachusetts, in terms of big city, and we are on the map more than ever, not for political reasons, but for cultural reasons, that I believe that whoever is the mayor could have a fair amount of national visibility.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you I think, came up with a very good parallel with Mike Bloomberg, mayor of New York City. He could run the city probably on just Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it would only cost a dollar.
Well, we're almost out of time, but this has been fun tonight talking about this event and actually having one of the candidates give us a call, which is very nice. We appreciate that, and that MPG is doing, as usual, our civic duty by bringing you as much information as we can cobble together
about
this event.
Well, we should read those 10 names one more time, don't you think?
Well, yeah, 12, really. Okay, here are the 10 names, again, of people who are verified to run. Mike Brennan, Ralph Carmona, Jody Lapchick, Jill Dusen, John Eder, Hamza Hadow, David Marshall, Nick Mavadonis, Marcos Miller, and Jed Rathband. Also, Charles Bragdon and Ethan Strimling have handed in their signatures, but they had not yet been verified as of yesterday afternoon. I don't think there'll be any problem there. And they're the only people that I could find information about. To be honest, it is difficult to get. There's no one website you can go to that has a running tally of this.
But you can be sure you'll be hearing those names a lot more.
Yes.
Not next Thursday, though, unless we can work them into a game show.
Oh, yes, lest we forget. Next Thursday, first Thursday of every month, we try to do this, people. Watch Your Language. We'll be live on the air with Al Brewer, Marsha Goldenberg, John Spritz, and Margaret Cleveland, and me, Suzanne Murphy, as your host. Thanks for tuning in tonight, Al.
Good night,
always,
Suzanne.
Great to be here. And thanks to Stephen. Good
It's marvelous that you should care.